I want to bring tonight a message fit for the battle. I hope you'll pray for us. I hope you'll be back. Fit for the battle. Now, maybe I should have brought it this morning because we have sung about it. But anyway, I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 33 this morning. I want to talk to you about places of blessing. Now, I know that Moses was blessing the children of Israel in this great book and that study, Deuteronomy 33. I understand that. But I also understand that he uses the word saints in this scripture. And so I'm a saint this morning. Now, if you're an ain't, you're not a saint. But if you're a saint, you're not an ain't. All right. If you ain't a saint, you're ain't. You're an ain't. Anyway, all right. You understand that. All right. Now, I haven't really gone crazy. I'm just be honest with you, folks. I like to cut up a little bit. Now, Jeff Fugate, who is in Kentucky, told the story about a man, a pastor who was out visiting, and he stepped upon the porch. A young man was sitting on the porch, and he said, "Son, is your dad home?" He said, "Oh, no, sir," said, "he's in prison." "Well, I'm sorry about that." He said, "Well, is your mother home?" "No, no, sir, she's in an institution." "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you have any brothers?" "Yes, sir, I got a brother." "Said, where is your brother?" "Said, he's in Harvard." "Harvard? What is he doing in Harvard? What is he studying?" "Said, he ain't studying nothing. They studying him." And so I don't want you to have to study me this morning now when you get through. Another old boy was visiting one of his members, and he said, "Why aren't you at church anymore? Why aren't you coming to church?" He said, "Well, it's been raining and raining and raining and raining." "Well," the pastor said to him, he said, "well, it's dry over to church." He said, "No, I know it. That's another reason I'm not coming." And so I don't want you to stay at home because I've been a little dry this morning. I want you to come back and hear the fit for the battle. Matter of fact, where's Jordan at? Where's Jordan? Oh, stand up, Jordan, over there. He's going to Navy. He's embarrassed because I'm... He's going to the Navy, all right, in just a few days. And tonight I'm going to teach him how to march. All right, I'm going to teach you that. Fitting you for the battle tonight, Jordan. All right, where's that 91-year-old man that came to me a while ago? Where, Brother Phillips, is that your name, Brother Phillips? All right, Brother Phillips sitting over there. He don't hear. He's got way back there, so he can't hear the message. All right, anyway. Now, look, if you will, let's just have some great time together. Look at chapter 33 for a few verses this morning. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. You'll find his death over in chapter 34. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai, rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand when a fiery law for them." Now, verse 3, one of our texts today. "Yea, he loved the people." Can you say amen to that? He loved the people. "All the saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive thy reward." Skip over to verse 12. Now, there's another tribe here, Benjamin. He said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him." Do you think America needs to be saved today? Where is it? It's in him. It's in him. "And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Goes on to talk about the precious thing in verse 13 and 14. Also in verse 15 and 16, talks about the precious things. But Lord, I want you to help me to dwell upon the blessings that was blessings to those tribes of Israel today. And dear Lord, as you shared with us, and the Apostle Paul wrote to us, those things that happened to Israel were our examples. And Lord, you also talk about the same scripture about the rock that followed them. And that rock is Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, we want to build upon that rock for a few minutes. Help me, Lord. I'll thank you for all you will accomplish in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, there in verse 3, there's a place on God's heart. He said he loved the people. Now, that's affection. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Where herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. 1 John 4, verse 19 said, "We love him because he first loved us. Now, when I'm not going to take you there, but in the book of Exodus, we'll find out that this man, Aaron, was a high priest, and he wore a breastplate. And on that breastplate was the stone that represented all the tribes of Israel, 12 stones, as you know. And on that breastplate, all the Bible says in Exodus 28 was they were over his heart. They were over Aaron's heart. Now, my friend, I can't tell you any greater news this morning than to tell you that Almighty God loves you today. He cares about you. He is concerned about everything in your life. And if he would count the hairs of a man's head, and some of us don't have to go very far, but the fact is, if he would count all the hairs of a man's head and know the hairs of your head this morning, I can promise you that our God loves you and loves you very dearly this morning. I can't share with you the depth of his love. I have no idea of the real depth of God's love, but I can tell you he loved you enough to bring his son all the way from glory down here to this lowland of sorrow and give his life a ransom on Calvary for you and I. What love? How can you manifest that kind of love? Oh, it's none other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he wore those stones. Aaron did. The high priest in that time wore upon his heart. God is upon your heart. A place of God. A place of blessing on God's heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. Now notice what he said. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe God wants to bless us. I really do. There's a place on God's heart. Secondly, there's a place in God's hand. Will you hold your hand there a moment and turn to Isaiah 49 a moment? We're in God's hand. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49. I want to show you something the scripture tells us here in this wonderful portion of scripture. Isaiah 49, I want you to look there. But I want you to remember now, we're in God's hands. Once you are saved by marvelous grace of God, we are now placed in his hands. If you will, look at verse 16. The Bible said of chapter 49, verse 16, behold, let me back up to verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. I love that scripture. Behold, notice why. Because I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. God said, you, my saints, are graven in my hands, a place in his hands. Can a woman forget her second child? She might, but God will not forget us according to this. If you're at chapter 49, turn to chapter 41 and look at verse 10. Notice not only are we graven in his palm, but we are upheld by his hand. Fear thou not, verse 10, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's hand is a wonderful, has strength of the hand of the right hand. But I'm not only telling you that we're graven in his palm and we're upheld by his hands, but as a child of the king, we are in his hands. He said, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall they be plucked out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my hands. Why? Because I and the Father are one. Did you know I am graven this morning in the palm of God's hands? You say, that's a mighty big hand he has. That's right. He has a mighty big hand. Matter of fact, somebody told me one time that I might not fall out of God's hand, but I could jump out of it. I said, man, if you know that we're graven in his palm, that's a pretty good sized hand. I don't think you could even get to find the edges of it if you wanted to jump out of it. I said, by the way, when you get in, you don't want to get out anyhow. Amen. When you get in, you don't want to get out. I love it inside God's hands. I'm held there. I'm protected. That's the reason I have eternal security. I'm in the Father's hands this morning. And amen. It's all right to say amen every once in a while now. All right, y'all still say amen, don't you? Listen, let me say to you, my brothers and sisters, I have a place on God's heart. I have a place in God's hand. I have a place at God's feet. Look back at verse 3 now of the text. He said, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one of them shall receive of thy words. Now, I'm going to give you a few illustrations of a book in the book of Luke about being at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Mary that broke open an alabaster box. As she stood, she's at Simon's house. Jesus is there, and she came in. This woman came in, broke open that alabaster box, and stood at his feet, and wept over his feet, and cleansed his feet with the tears of her eyes, and dried those feet with the hair of her head. Listen, and she placed that ointment upon his feet. Listen, she stood at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she literally was there. I can't go there literally. I cannot go to Jesus' feet literally this morning, but I can go through the Word of God, and I can go to Him. I can go to His feet with prayer. I believe with all my never-dying soul, the necessary need of all of this church house and every church house and all this world that we live in, the need is that we get back to Jesus' feet. There's a placing of blessing, not only in his hand, not only on his heart, but a place of blessing at his feet. Don't you think we need to get back to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, my friend, listen. He said here, that sinner broke open that alabaster box of ointment, and there, spite. Matter of fact, it was costly. Not only do we find this woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus, but Simon said, hey, you, Jesus, you being a prophet, you should have known she was a sinner. What are you to have to do with sinners? Hey, Jesus said, Simon, I came in here to the house. You gave me no water to wash my feet. This woman has washed my feet with her tears. You gave me no oil to anoint my head, and yet you have anointed me. She anointed me with the ointment, the spikenard, the costly. Listen, my friend. Let me tell you something. This woman went away from Simon's house justified that day because Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the faith that I placed in the Lord Jesus Christ some 50 years ago now, and I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Are you glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm at his feet this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Gadarenes in Gadara, he found a man that when dwelling in the tombs, bound, you remember? The Bible said that he loosed that man from those demons, of course, and cast those demons in a herd of swine. They did not want him to cast them into the deep, that is, the pits of the damned. So he cast them into the pigs and the hogs, and they ran down the bank and committed suicide. You remember, that's what we used to say to the pigs, suey. Anyway, they committed suicide. Anyway, choked themselves. Anyway, that was funny to me, but it wasn't to you, and I'm sorry. I meant for it to be a real, you're too serious. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. Forgive me. All right, now listen. But you remember when the Lord Jesus got that man free from the demons of hell, that he sat down at Jesus' feet and was clothed and in his right mind. Meaning that if you're full of the devil, you ain't in your right mind. That's not good English, but it's pretty good preaching. Amen. Now listen. She was clothed. He was clothed also, which this world needs. As I go out yonder in the world today, some of the nakedness out there that I see, listen, I'm going on. That'll not preach either too good in most churches sometimes, but the fact is, it's still in the Bible that we ought to be clothed and in our right mind. Woo! Listen, here is a man that got healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in the book of Luke 8, there's a man named Jairus that came and fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and beckoned him to go with him because his 12-year-old daughter, lay at the point of death. Jesus started with him and was waylaid by a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. He made her whole and then made it to Jairus' house only to say to them, hey, put out this crowd because they didn't believe that she's dead. Leave the master alone. But he put them all out and said, maid, arise. And she got up from her death bed. I don't know about you. If I had a 12-year-old daughter that was dying, I would take her to the Jesus that I know. Would you not? Would you pray? Sure you would. Yes, we'd all pray. That's what we need to do sometimes in sickness and in death. We need to pray. Listen, my friend, Jairus' daughter was saved, and they gave her some meat to eat. Jairus, you know what? Jairus was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you a couple other examples. Let me give you Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, down at Bethany. They were at, Jesus was there at their home, and Martha was cumbered about with so many things, and yet Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha spoke to the Lord and said, why don't you tell Mary to come in here, help me in the kitchen? She was making up some turnip greens and cornbread and all of that. And that's what she was doing. That's what the word ministered means. And, you know, you didn't see that in the King James, but it's in the NIV. But anyway, now listen. Now she was making up some she was anyway ministering to them. Now look, ministering to them meant that she was going to set the table in a little bit. Is there not a place for that? Why was the Lord rebuking her for that? Because there is a place of serving. She was serving. Thank God she was serving. She had her place. But listen, when Jesus rebuked her, he said, Martha, Martha. I don't know how he said it and you don't either, but the fact is he did say it. He rebuked her lightly, Martha, Martha. I don't know if that's the way he said it or not, but you don't either. But the fact is he did call her name twice. And when God called your name twice, you better sit up and take notice. He's trying to get your attention. That's what he's trying to do. If in the nighttime you hear your name called out by Almighty God, it might be all you need to do to get up and pray for a little while. Let that soak in. But the fact is, folks, Jesus said, Martha, Mary has chosen the best part. She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and was listening to the Almighty Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this old book is still real. It's been forever settled in heaven. Jesus said, not one jot nor tittle shall pass till all be fulfilled. I believe that Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything this whole America needs one more time, is to get back to this holy book of God on our knees before the Lord and ask God to help us in this situation in which we're in. Yes, he did. One thing thou needest, sit at the right feet of the Lord Jesus. One other illustration on the feet. 10 lepers were healed. I don't blame them when Jesus came near. They called out to him, Master! Master! And they were healed. All 10 of them were healed. Go show yourself to the priest and then come and show yourself. But on their way, all of them saw that they were healed. You know how many came back, don't you? Just one. You know what? He was not a full-blooded Jew. He was a mixed breed. But the Samaritan man came back and fell at his feet and thanked him. Thanked him. How long has it been since you thanked God for your home, your mama, and your place to stay, the car you're driving? How long has it been since you've thanked God for the clothes you're wearing? How long are we that we forgot what all we ate, mama prepared for you the other day? How long has it been since we just got on our face before God and said, "Dear God, I am so thankful that you sent me to America to live. I'm grateful for the place we have. Oh, it may not be like the Joneses, but it's a place where God gave you. Why don't we just get thankful again?" One old boy was asked by another, "What do you think's wrong with this country? Is it apathy or what? Ignorance or apathy?" He said, "I don't know and I don't care." That's about the attitude we have in some cases today. I don't know and I don't care. I'm moving on. There's a place at his side. If you look at verse 12, I read to you in our text today, a place at his side means an attraction. Verse 27, he dwells safely by him. Think of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was dying for us on that old rugged cross. You remember they came to break the legs of the bodies of those who were hanging there. Three of them were there that day. And they came to break the legs, but you know the Bible already said that his legs would not be broken. It had already been prophesied. When they got to where Jesus was, then he was already dead. That soldier pressed that spear, thrust it into the side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there out came blood and water. Blood speaks of your justification and mine. Water speaks of our sanctifying grace of God. The Word of God. Listen, we are Jesus' bride. Now my wife, bless her soul, had been through more. We just had last month our 58th anniversary. And I love her. She's been mine for a long time. She's had so many surgeries along the way that her neck would be that deep if you look today and that elongated because of having to take a fatty tumor out of her spinal cord. Anyway, because of that, she's almost paraplegic. But anyway, she's on a walker and she won't quit. And I won't let her. She's a real Trojan. And she loves God. And she's praying for me right now. Folks, blood took away my guilt. And the water washed away not my sins, the blood did that, but gave me a sanctifying, wonderful, you know John 7, I'm not going to try to quote it, I don't think I could, but the Bible said in the last days, the Bible said the Spirit of God would come, and of course it would flow like rivers of water, John chapter 7, verse 37, along there anyway, the Bible tells about it. Rivers of living water. Brother, thank God for the thirst that our Lord gave us. But she's my bride. I was talking about my wife. She's my bride. You'll notice that the bride came from Adam's side. Remember? Took a rib out there. Made a loud speaker out of it. Made a bride out of it anyway. I'm sorry. But that slipped out, you women. Now look, took from that side a rib and made Adam a bride from his side. From Jesus' side came his bride. We are his bride this morning. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. I don't look much like a bride right now, do I? Say amen right there. That's all right. But I tell you what, he ain't done with me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. What's the rest of it? Y'all don't know either, and I can't remember. So anyway, we're going on. But I'm from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, come from his side. No wonder when I look over at Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 27 of chapter 33, no, somewhere along there, he said, "Oh, who is like unto thee?" Moses cried out. Verse 29 it is, "Who is like unto thee? Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee?" There's one more thing I want to bring, and that is we have a place between his shoulders. Strength this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, folks, a lot of people are fainting by the wayside today. You know that. I said you know that. A lot of people are fainting by the wayside. If we faint in the day of adversity, then is our strength small. So classify yourself. If we're fainting in this day of adversity, and it is a day of adversity, then if you're going to faint, then your strength is very small. You better get on your face and say, "Dear God, I can't make it any further. I need to have your strength to make me go a little further." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, you know, strength is in the shoulders. I was talking to Brother Chris over. We were talking about the cotton patch. He's talking about sowing and reaping this morning. I saw all those cotton fields coming down here. My back got to hurting looking right down through them rows just watching that, because we used to put on a pick sack and pick cotton. And listen, I looked out at that field and I said, "Oh, my soul, I'm sure glad this morning I don't have to tackle that big field out there." They bring the cotton pickers in here, and I used to be a cotton picker myself, but I don't want to do that no more. Anyway, now look. But listen, they bring those cotton pickers in there and they leave more on the ground sometimes than they look like they get out of the bowl. I said, "My daddy made me clean that up." And you see, we weren't permitted to leave any cotton in a burr. A burr is a burr. You know what a burr is? I didn't think you did. That's that little thing that holds the cotton. Amen. I have to teach y'all along the way, all right now. That's that burr. That's the burr. And it'll stick you. Now look, we're not getting my cotton picked. Daddy said, "If you get that basket full over there, son, you can take a rest." I picked that old basket I thought was full. He'd come over and put his big old foot in there and tromp it down. And I had to pick another half hour or so. But you know what? I'm satisfied with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. I'm dwelling between his shoulders. Shoulders is where your strength is. Daddy'd get that little cotton pack, he'd help me, that basket, after I get it fixed, he'd help me get it on my shoulder. Get it on my shoulder and I could take it all the way across the patch to the house. I could go and sit down a little bit, take a drink of cool, cold well water. I have a place this morning on God's heart. I have a place this morning in his hand. I have a place this morning at his feet. I have a place this morning at his side. I have a place this morning between his shoulders. Thank God I can dwell deep with him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Is he yours this morning? Are you on your way to heaven?